Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and alongside me is Damian Arsenis. My friend, how has your week of hoops been? Because if it's anything like mine, it would have been chockers.
It was chockers, and not only does Australia boast an NBA champion now, we bookended the top 10 of the 2016 NBA draft.
And that's what's actually going to kick off our top five. We start off our starting five as we always do. Now, topic number one is last Friday's NBA draft. We weren't able to touch on it last week because our show's on Thursday. Mm-hmm. This was on Friday morning. Still news for us, so we want to chat about it. The NBA draft, Ben Simmons number one. We knew that was going to happen, but then Thon Maker jumping up at pick 10 to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Bolter.
In my mock draft, I had him somewhere in between 17 and 28.
And I said 18.
You said 18. So we were kind of, we thought it would be mid to late first round. In the end, goes at pick 10. What are your thoughts on that pick? Is it a good move by the Bucks? Will it be worth it for them?
They've obviously thought it's a good enough move to make that what many consider to be a gamble, really, to
Absolutely.
Take him at 10. They consider he obviously has a lot of upside still. He has a lot of talent. We're talking
it all
about
comes down to his athleticism and his wingspan, pretty much. They've got a lot of guys with the key word here. You know what I'm going to say?
Length.
Length.
Length. Do the Bucks have length or what now?
It's unbelievable. The amount of arms that they have on that roster is unbelievable. And Thon only adds to it.
Yeah, he does. And Thon's been, you know, quite open to saying that he considers himself very strong defensively as well. And it's combined that with his ability to score inside and out. And really, it just comes down to strength now with Maker. That's probably the thing that's stood out, I guess, the size and actually having that physical strength to go against a bigger body. And right now, add him to who the Bucks have, and they are long, they are lean, and they're going to be quick.
And it came as a surprise as well, because there were question marks over Thon Maker's age as well. We don't know whether that's true or not, but there were reports that a lot of teams had him completely off their big board, at least in the first round, because there were reports that he could be somewhere between 21 and 23. We don't know whether that's true or not. But taking that into account, do you think it's worth the gamble at pick 10?
Oh, look, it's one of those things. I think if you look at the draft, there's a lot of teams that have taken a lot of gambles, really. There's been a lot of bolters, and a lot of the players that we thought
this
might be first.
Very strange one.
A lot of players that we thought may have been early first round, even went into the second round of the draft. So, yeah, there was a lot of interesting picks, and that's what made it really good viewing this year as well. You didn't know what was coming next.
It did completely ruin my mock draft, however. We had a conversation after the mock draft podcast last week, and I gave you the over-under on how many selections I get right. We put it at 4.5. I ended up with 4.
Yep.
But the thing was, I got my top 6 were all correct. The only thing is I had Dragon Bender and Jaylen Brown around the wrong way. So okay, if those two went the other way, my top 6 would have been fine. But there were a lot of surprises. Georgios Papagiannis going at pick 12. I had him at pick 15. The Celtics going for Yabusele at pick 15. I don't think he was even in anyone's first round.
No.
So there were a lot of weird, weird picks. But in the end, it meant Thon got a pick 10, and that's phenomenal for him. Best of luck for his career at the Bucks. It's going to be very fascinating to watch them next year. Topic number two, we'll speak about Ben Simmons now. We knew he was going to go number one. What pieces now, Damo, do you think Philly need to surround him with? Because this is a team that, even though they've now got the number one pick, they're still a terrible side. This is a side that last year, they were easily the worst in the league.
They were playing for the number one
they
pick.
They need a lot of pieces still. What's the biggest part? We know they don't need a front court player because that's pretty much all they are. They're just a bunch of front court players.
They need a shooter. That's probably the biggest thing that stands out to me. They need someone that can connect from outside. And they probably need two of those players because they don't really have anyone at the moment. Including Simmons. Now, in the pre-draft workout that he did do and in some of the other individual workouts, Simmons has leaked stuff out that shows he's been shooting quite well, and a lot of people are saying he can't shoot, but really, there's nothing wrong with his action. It's probably more of a confidence thing, which we spoke about during the college season and how he's been played and what's been expected. But realistically, they need shooters. They probably need two of them, probably a genuine shooting guard, probably a shooting swingman as well.
What position do you see Ben playing, by the way? Is the point for, is he going to handle the ball up the court?
Well, according to Brett Brown, he's going to let Ben play and be Ben, which is probably a really good thing. So he's probably going to start off in the power forward role. And, you know, if he pulls down a rebound, go for it, Ben. Bring the ball up the court. Don't have to hand off just play in the open court. And given some of the players they've got, and they've got a little bit of length now too, if you really look at it, probably not the same athleticism as what we just talked about the Bucks, but they've got quite a good young core in their front court, but very unproven at this stage as well.
Well, we see Embiid is probably going to make his debut this season. We've seen that for a while, so I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. You don't know how healthy he is. Dario Saric is going to come over from overseas.
He'll be good. He'll be a good acquisition for them as well.
Yeah. Topic number three. What's next for the undrafted Aussies? So we've seen guys like Emmanuel Molu, Venki Joyce, Majok Deng, Anthony Drimmick. None of them actually got a look in the draft, which we mentioned last week was probably a good thing. We'd rather them go undrafted than into the second round. And realistically, even though there were a lot of surprises in the draft, it would have really been a surprise had one of these guys got drafted in the first round. So in the end, works out well. What's next for these guys, Damo?
Well, Emmanuel Molu, we'll start with him. He's come out and he's out for at least 4 or 5 weeks now with a knee injury. He had a cyst behind his knee, which... burst basically, so he's out of action.
He was going to play summer league.
It's bad timing because he also had confirmed a deal with the Phoenix Suns to play summer league for them, which would have been a great scenario for him. And by all accounts, he probably would have done a really good job as well. So it's one of those bad timing situations. And I guess if we look at his lead up to the draft and why he entered the draft in the first place, he's had a bit of a run of bad luck with the schooling that and the schools and the situations that he's been in as well, which led him to this point, because in all reality he wasn't going to be able to play with Iowa.
Iowa State,
let's get that right. And then you've got a guy like Venki Joyce, probably one of the hardest working guys we've got in the draft at the moment as well. Very athletic, 6'8", probably the only thing against him is his outside shot. He's never been able to demonstrate he has a perimeter game, and his free throw shooting hasn't been great either. But he can shoot. It's probably more of a mental thing. And I think out of all the guys, he's probably the one that could work his way onto a roster just through his sheer work ethic and being able to demonstrate what he can do. Definitely going to see him in summer league. We just don't know which team that is yet. And then Majok Deng is probably going to be playing in summer league as well. Again, he was probably an outside chance in the NBA draft. And I'm hearing that there's every chance that Anthony Drimmick, who's probably been written off by everyone, is likely to get a summer league gig as well.
Which would be fascinating as well. And the best thing about everything is that summer league will be on ESPN.
Exactly.
So we get to see it live.
So here in Australia, you'll be able to see a lot of it live. You won't just have to jump onto League Pass or anything. You should be able to watch it on ESPN as well.
So just have to get on the ESPN website and just keep clicking refresh on the scores to see how all the guys are doing, like I had to do the last couple of years.
Yeah, now if we're looking at summer league too, there's a lot of people have been talking about whether we're going to see Ryan Brokoff and Brock Motum and maybe even Chris Goulding go back for another crack. We won't see those guys there because they've committed to the Boomers program. So really, for their chances of an NBA berth next year, it'll all hinge on how they perform at the Olympics.
Absolutely. Topic number four, you're all over the under-17 championships, Damo. Could we be looking at a medal in either the boys or girls under-17s?
Well, let's start with the women. The women have an absolute dream run.
Do we say women or do we say
girls? I'm saying women. And they're young women. And
I'm going to say women as well.
And they've had an unbelievable run. They're really coming into some of the best form that they've had all tournament at the right stage. So they accounted for the Czech Republic overnight. They smashed them in the quarterfinals. And now they're into the semifinals, and they're going to take on the tournament favourites, the USA, in the semifinals. Now, the USA only scraped through against France by about 10 points in their quarterfinal as well. So they are beatable. But Australia are going to have to bring on the Sapphires. That's what they're known. They're going to have to bring their A game to that semifinal matchup.
And the men's.
The men had a massive upset win in their round of 16 game against Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, normally, saying Bosnia and Herzegovina and saying they're the favourites wouldn't normally be the case. But
unless you're talking about Eurovision.
Yeah, probably. But they're actually the European champions. So they've come in here and they've got the tournament leading score at 30-odd points a game, and Australia have come away with an amazing, thrilling win, really, and really sparked by a guy that really didn't have the scouts buzzing until a couple of big performance, shooting performance, Dragan Elkaz from
I've
New South Wales.
I've heard his name everywhere since that.
Yeah, since everywhere. That performance. He's also had another good performance. He's a shot maker and he's making shots, and I'm actually seeing a little bit, not quite the same, a little bit of our good mate Dejan Vasiljevic in him as well. Very much a flat-out scorer, shot maker. Not quite the same type of player. Dragan's probably a bit more athletic, but yeah, they're both flat-out scorers. And now that they've advanced to the quarterfinals and they've got a real shot at progressing. They're taking on the host nation, Spain, next up. Now, Spain will be tough, but on paper, I would argue Australia's a better team, but they're playing the home side, so we'll see how we're going. But the women, if they can get over the USA, will be playing for gold. If they drop to the USA, they're going for bronze, and the men need to win this game against Spain to make the medal rounds.
Fingers crossed we can both get their medals in both the men's and women's division. Topic number five, we're running out of time here, Damo, so we'll see how we go. Last week, our show was just so jam-packed. We weren't able to get to the fact that Lauren Jackson was named as part of the WNBA Top 20 at 20. Obviously, the WNBA going for 20 years, so This was looking at the best 20 players in the 20 years of the WNBA. Lauren Jackson made the list. Penny Taylor did not. Is she stiff?
Well, Penny Taylor is stiff. I'll answer that question right now. She should have been in the top 20. Now, having said that, there's such a huge number of really talented women that deserve to be in the top 20, and there's a few that are always going to miss out, but Penny Taylor should have been there. Three-time WNBA champion with a Phoenix Mercury, and when you throw on, she's a world champion, world championship MVP.
Yeah.
I really think she's probably been a little bit tough in being left out.
Yeah, but as for Loz, no surprise there.
Lauren Jackson.
Second best player?
I would argue WNBA. Lauren Jackson's the best, if not the second best player in the WNBA's history, and you know what she's been able to achieve with the Seattle Storm has just been remarkable, going from the number one draft pick through to winning all those titles, MVPs, All-Stars, you name it, she's done it. And so much so that Seattle have announced that they're going to retire a jersey this year as well.
Good. Hanging on the rafters?
Yeah. So I think, you know, once she retires, it's all, you know, she's retired from international competition. Once all this settles down, it won't be too much longer before we see Lauren Jackson joined Michelle Timms in the FIBA Hall of Fame.
Just before we finish, Dan, I just wanted to mention that myself and Lockie Miller from Zoom TV attended the Helping Hoops.
Great event.
Absolutely. The charity shootout on the weekend. It ran from Saturday to Sunday. I think we mentioned it in last week's
show. We did.
And the aim of the game was to shoot as many free throws as you could within 15 minutes. I am proud to say I beat Lockie.
That wouldn't have been hard.
183 out of 340 I ended up with. My arms got so sore. Within about 3 minutes, it felt like I was shooting for about an hour, and Lockie kindly reminded me that only 3 minutes had passed. So from there, it was a bit of a struggle. But the first 3 minutes, I felt all right. I got into my rhythm. From there, it was just fatigue really, really set in. But in the end, I can't be too upset with 183. Lockie ended up with 175, but he had 390-odd shots. So he had 50 more shots than me. And
he's a chucker.
Still couldn't beat me. He is a massive
but a great
chucker.
Cause, and absolutely, they raised a huge amount of money for Helping Hoops charity, which is fantastic.
They did, and if you can still donate as well. So go to the Helping Hoops website, donate some money. It's for a worthy cause, so make sure you check them out. And thanks to Adam McKay and the guys down there for helping us out as well. Damo, thanks for joining us, mate. Where can we find all your stuff?
You can find us at pickandroll.com.au on Facebook and Twitter, which is pickandrollau.
Thanks, mate. See you next week.
We will.